This is Hank and the Robots.
Because
robots are the thing that the kids, they want to see today because they are robots.
So I guess that this is issue 132 of Hank comic, Robots, Age of Ultron Cafe, Robots and Stuff. And we are here to...
This is robots also not being in disguise. They're just there.
In front of you. They want.
They have no shame. They're robots.
Hashtag yes, every robots. This is a show about them. This is their spotlight. We again are Ultron Cafe. We are from the Great North of Europe, and we are here to.
We're from North Europe.
People say North Europe. What country?
If we say North Europe.
Northern Europe. We don't believe in your geopolitical structure, so we call ourselves.
We are artists who have no border. We are just simply North. Okay, we have North of that border, but that is all.
We are citizens of the Northern of North Europe. And
we are Compassosians. Answer only to compass points.
And I swear to God, if one of you makes another Led Zeppelin Land of the Ice and Snow immigrant song joke, I will be very upset, and I will write a song about it, and it will end up on our next album.
Yes, we have a new song already in works in my mind called We Have a Spring, You Know.
Called Elves Are Real, and our government says so. It's a pride song. We are going to have a march for the elves. It's going to be very nice.
Okay, but how did you guys get in here?
Who let Ultron Cafe in here?
I swear.
When did they get here? How did they get here?
I haven't seen them in so long, I'd almost forgotten about them. And I guess things lapsed.
We literally just stopped recording one show, went off to get a drink, came back to do another show, and Ultron Cafe was in the studio.
I know, it was... I don't. And the thing about it is, they are so gaunt. They turn sideways, they're like angelfish, you can't see them.
It's amazing. It's a defense mechanism, really.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club.
Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club. Dallas Buyers Club. Ultron Cafe. We're selling memberships.
It's Dallas Buyers Club. You can tell it sure as hell wasn't shot in Texas.
Dallas Buyers Club. How tight are my jeans? Yes, this is issue 132 of Hey Kids Comics. Robots not in disguise. We're discussing robots.
Robots, robots, automatons, androids, droids.
Mom-tomatons, Mr. Mom-tomatons.
Comic-cons, Mr. Roboto.
Tom Jones.
Tom Jones.
It's right. So what is new Pussycat? What is new Pussycat?
So for those of you who are familiar with the works of Philip K. Dick, we're even going to discuss Mercerism. No, we're not. So
we're just going to take pictures of robots and put Philip K. Dick jokes over them.
That's a new kind of dick jokes. Philip K. Dick jokes.
Well, I've really been expanding my repertoire of dick jokes. I've gone into the
Philip K. Dick jokes, Andy Dick jokes.
Right.
Spotted dick jokes.
Spotted dick jokes.
Get
out.
This isn't Northern
Svarn.
Europe. Or...
Svarn. Get out of here, Svarn.
So, yeah, we got to discussing the presence of, the prevalence of robots because of Avengers Age of Ultron, which is going to bring robotics, I guess, if you will, into the fore.
Right.
In ways we have never seen before on the big screen. Not the least of which is apparently, if it's anything that movies like The Terminator have taught us, the raw materials available for robot building are boundless. There is just no shortage of robot building materials.
And pretty much anybody can
conjure up at will.
And pretty much anybody, if comic books have taught me anything, anyone can build a robot. 12-year-old boy, 85-year-old woman, doesn't matter.
Or even if they did build it. Almost anyone can control robots.
Find and control a robot.
I think that, you know, for example, in memory of Herb Trimpe, let's talk a little bit about Godzilla and none other than Red Ronin.
The Marvel's answer to kaiju fighting giant robots. Yes,
exactly. And in fact, the one of the best things to come out of the Godzilla comics, other than just, you know, nonstop dum-dum Duggan at the wheel of a helicarrier, you got the Red Ronin robot, yeah, which was like Pacific Rim 30 years early. And so they build this giant Godzilla fighting robot with this lightsaber shield thing going on.
Yes, it did. It certainly did, yeah.
And some, you know, 12-year-old kid can crawl up into the control console and take it over.
And once that kid's in, there's no coming out. That's the other thing about a giant robot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and apparently the devil's in the details. And, you know, and I'm a big fan of Michael Crichton's work, and you know that's a key element there. And it certainly happens a lot in comics, especially when you're faced with the inevitable detail of somebody coming up with the lame-ass idea of, hey, let's build a robot that responds to the mental commands of the first person that puts on the helmet and nobody else ever in the history of Earth.
Right, it patterns itself to the brainwaves of the first person that puts on the helmet, and that's it.
Which begs the question, I mean, is this love potion number 9? No. You don't need to be, like, having things that key in on the first thing. This isn't...
Right.
You need to have be more universal. I mean, even the... What was that Clint Eastwood movie where he goes and hijacks that Russian warplane?
Firefox.
Yeah, even Firefox would respond to anyone who could think in Russian, apparently.
Yeah, you have to be able to think in Russian. Because the thing is, it can recognize brainwaves, but only Russian brainwaves.
That's right. It's like, you know, dogs that were raised in foreign countries, and they don't
speak. Dogs that were raised, yeah, the German shepherds that only understand.
Yeah, the German,
oddly enough, Japanese.
Or the strangely ironic German chihuahuas.
That is a breed that you never want to see made. You never want to see the creation of the German chihuahua.
You know, it's almost like the Mandarin, you know, you just never see it coming.
It's just like the Mandarin or a sausage factory. You like the end result.
Yeah, but it's still, there's something strange about it. So, yeah, we're here to talk about robots and comics other than just Red Ronin.
Okay.
That we could possibly, no. But, you know, Red Ronin was Pacific Rim before Pacific Rim, but it was also very much like, you know, Red Ronin came out of Godzilla because anything they came up with themselves, they got to keep. And they sure as hell weren't coming up with anything they wanted to keep out of Shogun Warriors license.
True.
So they made their own Shogun Warrior, but they didn't put in Shogun Warriors, so that way Mattel couldn't do an end run around them and say, well, yeah, it's kind of a Shogun Warrior in its own right, so we're stealing it back. So they parked him over in Godzilla. And then they brought him back from time to time. I've been really impressed, occasionally stumble upon Red Ronin. But the Shogun Warriors was another example, because they were like the Transformers who couldn't change.
Right. They're sort of the saddest Transformers.
Transformers before anybody got the idea of shape-changing robots.
They're just like, what if these Shogun Warriors could turn into big rig trucks? That's a winner.
There you go. That's something.
That's something. This just isn't working for us.
But there's been a huge history of robots and robotics. You know, Marvel, maybe the House of Ideas, but it's also the House of Damn Robots.
Well, and
they have more robots than you shake a stick at.
And 1939 was the first robot from Marvel. One of their first superheroes was the Human Torch.
That's right. The Android-matic.
The Android-o-matic 2. Yes. The first Human Torch, as seen in Captain America the movie at the World's Fair, was an android robot that fought alongside the invaders.
Exactly.
Because what do you do when you build an android robot that can just catch on fire at will? You send him to fight Nazis.
Because what's wonderful about the Human Torch is you build this android that can not only catch on fire, well, it can un-catch on fire, if you will.
Right.
Which, you know, begs the question of, was this just an irreproducible result? why don't we make things that can do that that aren't necessarily smart to fight the Nazis with?
Just use the formula.
To adopt some kid who, by some strangely bizarre coincidence, as we talked about in Reckless Endangerment, does exactly the same thing, but he's people. He doesn't just think he's people. He is people.
He's actually people.
In this weird twist of, like, Steven Spielberg's AI, where it's the kid that's the people. The kid is made of people.
Wow. You are still punchy. I love it.
Indeed. So here a week later, even though technically it was just the same time.
It was in between the Ultron invasion.
It's fine.
So why robots? Why robots?
One thing that robots ideally allow a writer to do is explore the human condition from an outsider's point of view. Now, when the Human Torch was created, not so much. I don't think that back in the 30s they were really looking to explore what was on his mind so much as, hey, he's a robot!
Right.
It's a robot who can catch on fire!
Right, right.
And not catch on fire.
Keep in mind also that while a good writer could explore a robot, you know, the human condition, you know, through robots, a writer that was in a pinch, or maybe a writer that was a little more hacky, could use robots as just disposable weapons that they could bring back whenever they wanted to.
Yeah, it's also known as Episode 1 of Star Wars.
Right, exactly. Correct. You could have as many Doom bots as you wanted.
That's
and
right.
Never had to worry about it.
It's a sad day for robot kind. But we can always make more kill bots.
But there have been some really interesting robots on both sides of the Great Divide, the Marvel DC divide.
Oh, yeah.
There. One of them that jumps to my mind, and we'll get to Ultron down the line, because he's going to be a
He's a gimme, basically.
He's a task. Are the Sentinels. I always
you definitely cannot talk about robots in comics and not bring the Sentinels to bear.
I always liked the Sentinels. The Sentinels were super cool because they were giant mutant-hunting robots. That's rad. You know, that's super cool because the thing was, the X-Men were always, you know, they... It took them out. It gave them the big fight. You know, you always had the X-Men that were fighting the Hellfire Club, or they were fighting,
Magneto
and the Brotherhood of Mutants, or they were, you know, fighting.
No, be fair. They were the Brotherhood of Evil.
Evil Mutants, right? Or they were fighting racism.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, exactly.
You know, this gave them a fight with a giant, you know, something that they could unleash on. And that's something that, you know, and it's been done really well in the movies, as, you know, as well as comic books where, you know, oh, it's a robot, then I can, Captain America can remove his limiters if it's a,
a
robot.
Yeah, that's another thing is the hackneyed sort of idea is that, you know, Superman doesn't dare harm anyone, but if it's a robot, you can trash that sucker wholesale.
Right, exactly.
Like, if the guy was driving a Pontiac, would you go and just tear the living daylights out of it to get at him? Not necessarily. You might pick it up and say, oh, that's as far as you're going, mister. But boy, if he's got a robot standing between you and him, it's going to be turned into scrap metal in short order.
But you got to see things like the Colossus Wolverine fastball specials. And
that's true.
And
yeah, you got the Sentinels going. You get everything from the fastball special to the, this is for you, Morph. Somehow it's just not as poignant when you avenge yourself
against a machine.
Avenge the fallen on a machine.
But, exactly. But you
I
get...
mean, if Morph, quite frankly, had been hit by a runaway Pontiac, to go back to the earlier example, would Wolverine have shoved his claws into the crankcase
of a Fiero,
yelling at God, a Fiero, damn you!
Yeah.
Damn the Fiero, I wanted one of those damn things so bad.
So did I, until I saw one that catch fire. I think Wolverine was involved. By the way, Fiero was definitely a dropped ball on the part of the Transformers. They could have really taken that Fiero to task. They'd have made an awesome Fiero Transformer, but they never did.
Yeah, I think the Fiero would probably have been a Decepticon known as Fireball. That is for you, Jason.
Jason, make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we need that to happen in a big way. So, but you know, they were iconic because they were cool and giant and inexplicably purple, and they spoke in that weird Marvel robot language. So you had to point out exactly what word form you were using.
Yes.
Statement. Statement. You could just sit there. Why did you say that? I mean, every robot did that. It was very Lee and Kirby kind of thing, I guess. From the Rigelian Recorders, one of whom accompanied Hercules on his aforementioned baby-faced Bob Layton journey through the stars after being exiled by Zeus. That's not played by Sir Anthony Hopkins. To like just pretty much every robot, depending on who is writing. I mean, sometimes like the Dr. Doom, in addition to having his Doombots, which, you know, even he sometimes wasn't sure, you know, where he ended and they began.
shit.
But he also had the bizarre. What are they called? Like the Guardian robots, who were also Sentinel Purple.
But they had the weird head.
Yeah, they had that weird little piston on the top of their head, or that strange little. What that was like a port? Was that where you fuel them up or something? Or was there like a water weasel that you could attach, you know, for gardening purposes? Or...
A garden weasel. That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was from the Fantastic Four, so you know. Have you seen the Latverian the castle there, the Castle von Doom? The upkeep on the grounds is—it's
got to be crazy, right?
Like, you know, you need a versatile robot fleet. Is it a fleet? I don't know.
Speaking of purple robots and Marvel Comics, there's one in particular that I think Cole and I both hold in pretty high esteem, and that is X-51, otherwise known as Machine Man.
Oh, yes.
Because Machine Man has the pedigree of being the only Marvel comic character to come out of 2001 A Space Odyssey's comic book.
Yes, in much the same way that Red Ronin emerged from Godzilla, as did Dr. Demonicus, as many a character emerged from the Micronauts.
Right.
The Space Knights came from Rom the Space Knight, though they had to rename them from Space Knights. But you had so many characters that they got to keep. And that was such a neat thing about the way they wrote their licenses. But yes, this robot from 2001 A Space Odyssey, which strangely enough went God knows where. I wonder what Arthur C. Clarke ever, you know, did he ever crack a cover? This isn't remotely what I had in mind. Which is probably why they did the 2010.
Right.
Just because, you know, enough years had passed that people got the bad taste of what the hell that was 2001 from Marvel out of their system, and he could say, no, here's really where I would have gone. And oddly enough, nothing came out of the adaptation of Logan's Run. They didn't get jacked.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, they could have really taken that places. But yeah, Machine Man, it was the most bizarre place to obtain a new character. And Machine Man has been all over the place, from being the guy in purple with the disembodying Popeyes, electronic binocular eyes, where he could, like, you know, it was never depicted with some sort of weird electronic tongue where he could have done, like, the Tex Avery wolf thing. It would have been pretty cool, you know. But,
I need to make this clear, okay? Right now, because I think it's glossed over a lot, and I don't think I've ever heard it talked about. Because Machine Man exists in the standard Marvel Comics continuity, we now have to accept that 2001 exists in standard Marvel Comics continuity. Machine Man got his sentience from the Monolith. The Monolith exists in Marvel Comics.
Oh, really?
Why aren't you using this, Marvel? Why are you not making this a thing that you use all the time? I'm really confused.
I was not aware. I'm actually a little dumbstruck that he's part of the Monolith. Apparently the Monolith is male.
So is the Monolith like a part of the
you can tell the Monolith is a male because if you reach under the vent with a little probe, you can feel around and find the genitals.
Shit.
They're like snakes. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what the hell that was about.
Are there Monolith sexers out there? Is that what
they're saying? That's a profession because, you know, when you order up a bunch of Monoliths chicks, you don't want a cockerel in the mix. No, sir, that's chickens. I get chickens and Monoliths confused all the time. That's why nobody wants to eat my fried chicken, because it's actually fried Monolith.
All right, moving on. I wanted to make that clear that the Monolith exists, and they've had things
I had no idea.
They've had things like the Secret Wars in Marvel.
Yeah.
They've had the Beyonder in Marvel. They've had Heroes Reborn in Marvel. And never once have they touched the damn Monolith. You bunch of jackasses. Get on it. Okay, so I'm done with that now.
Said your piece there.
Yeah.
So jumping over to DC, which also they have their fair share of robots and androids and such. Red Tornado.
Ah, yes.
It's sort of like is the air elemental from Dungeons & Dragons to Human Torch's fire elemental. And the reason, if you're curious at home, why is there no water elemental? Oh, come on. Did anybody ever watch, you know, Wizard of Oz? You seen what water does to these things?
Right. When you had the Wonder Twins.
Woods was a robot.
When you had the Wonder Twins, one always became the bucket of water and didn't want to? Come on, people.
Yeah. There's a reason.
There's a reason.
No. Do that with robots.
You just don't.
But I think perhaps the most famous DC robots ever.
Here we go. I knew this was coming.
Intrepid Brady Bunch family dynamic.
I knew this was coming.
It was.
Yeah.
The Metal.
There we go. All right. Now we're in. Now we're moving. Now we're cooking with gas. The Metal Men.
Yeah, the Metal Men, in many ways, are sort of the precursor of the idea in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy of imbuing robots with human personality traits, and often the worst ones. I mean, as the designer, builder, and programmer of the Metal Men, you have, Dr. Will Magus, a choice in making 10 or a sniveling little wimp.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just make him, you know, ever seen like little chihuahuas or Pekingese and stuff, who think they're just some kind of giant wolf.
Right.
You know, that dynamic works too. You know, you don't have to make him Schlep Rock from the Pebbles and Bam Bam show. I mean, frankly, nothing's more annoying than a T-1000 going, woozy, whoa, whoa. Yeah, I'm everywhere tonight.
I don't even know what to say to that. I'm just at a loss there. What happened? Wait, I'm sorry. I was looking. Yeah, I was just
trying to backtrack there.
I was just looking over the Metal Men, and apparently, Tio Maro, the consistent adversary, and other, you know, side genius, villain genius, developed his own Metal Men that were radioactive and called them the Death Metal Men.
Seriously, when
yes.
did he do that?
This was apparently in
was this like more
a limited Metal Man series, which was in 2007 to 2008.
Oh, that makes more sense. I was going to be shocked. It was like 1963.
No,
that'd be so brutal.
But it was uranium, strontium, thorium, radium, lithium, polonium, and fermium. And they were the Death Metal Men.
Wow.
And they needed the help of Elrond to defeat it. You remember Elrond? Speaking of robots?
Elrond! Maxwell Lord's robot.
Yes, yes.
Elrond, wow.
And then there were multiple robots in this as well. There was Commander Suru, Captain Kirk, Heinlein, K-Dick, and Elrond.
Wow.
Yes, these were robots that appeared in Justice League International 14. They originally were companions of Manga Khan.
Oh, I remember Manga Khan.
Yes, yes. And then the Justice League International had to free the robots because they were essentially sentient.
Well, the thing about it is that, like, you know, as robots go, you've got the metal men who range everywhere from just sort of like, you know, being characters out of Archie comics, or worse, you know, being like illustrations from L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz.
Right.
To like the platinum, when he finally gets around to making platinum, she's like some kind of porn star chick. I'm like, what? Whoa, wait a minute. I mean, you know, I know you're a geeky scientist and all, but you don't have to broadcast it, man.
Right.
This isn't weird science.
Well, do you remember, what was it, Justice, the Justice miniseries, when they had to, you read the Justice,
right,
where,
yeah,
they all...
Well, I kind of tapered off for a while, but yes, they did utilize the, they gilded themselves in Metal Men, if I remember.
They correctly. Did, yes, in order to fool
or girded
the...
girded themselves, I guess we should say.
Yeah, in order to fool the supervillain cabal into thinking one was the other and other was,
it's like, I'll take care of Flash. The hell, it's Batman.
What?
I don't know who that was talking that way, but whoever it was is highly annoying.
Some kind of weird prepubescent Peter Lorre just showed up.
That was some bizarre, like, you know, any villain in the Super Friends.
But the Platinum, as portrayed in that, was like super, you know, Frank Cho-y, like all TNA, like, hello, Mr. Magnus, like, what is happening?
Oh, wow.
So, yes,
happy,
yes,
birthday, Dr. Magnus.
That's awful. That's awful.
Oh, dear God.
So who's your favorite robot?
G.I. Robot.
G.I. Robot's pretty sweet.
It's just...
Just straight up.
No question about it.
No question. Just G.I. Robot.
I'm telling you, the rank and file should have either hated or loved the fact that G.I. Robot existed. Because either, you know, they're taking our jobs, or,
yeah,
you know, oh good, we don't have to do the fighting no more. But apparently, they only made the one.
Right, they made one. They had the ability. We had, like, you know, we had the budget to make them. Why weren't we making 1,000 G.I. robots?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about it is that G.I. Robot, during the course of World War II, or Weird War I,
if you will.
If you will, with Weird War Tales. I think he may have, if I'm not mistaken, he may have first appeared in Weird War Tales, in a story known as simply as My Buddy the Robot.
Really?
And it was probably, you know, the tale of some Sergeant Rock wannabe, you know, and maybe discovering his war buddy was an automaton, which has got to be a bit of a shock. And
it's like small wonder.
Yeah, exactly, only in a combat theater. And then later on, you know, would go and accompany the Weird War
Rangers
troops,
or yeah, whatever, yeah, they were
on the Dinosaur Island, which apparently was in the Pacific Theater, was a very strategically important island. Why? Because traditionally islands were, and you know, atolls and the like, were used to be paved over for airstrips. It seems like you don't really have a lot of time to drop down an airstrip in the middle of Jurassic Park, where,
right,
you know, where the pirates are eating the tourists.
Westworld.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I don't know, maybe G.I. Robot held them at bay long enough that they could land the odd plane or helicopter.
They could get out in one piece. G.I. Robot. Salute you, G.I. Robot.
Yeah.
For me, it's
Or Robot Man, for that matter. Over
Robot Man, the member of...
literally every incarnation of the God, what was that?
Yeah, I can't think of the name. Why can't I think of the name? Beast Boy, Negative Man.
Yeah, and then it got weird there for a while, and it turned into some sort of surreal psycho fantasy.
Right.
The Doom Patrol.
Thank you, the Doom
Patrol.
Niles
Calder, the hirsute Professor X.
Yes. Nice.
There are people who are like, that's just catching. Okay, yeah, I got you.
Okay, I'm with it now. He loved a good plaid blanket. I'll give him that. It was hot. It was. How did he do that? It was hot where he was. Like,
well,
like they were
the thing
always.
That is though. How would he know?
Too soon. I guess too soon.
Wow.
Yeah. See, for me, it was, and while, you know, we're coming around, so we'll come around the mountain on this. For me, it was Vision.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, G.I. Robot would not be my top robot, but I had to give him some love. But yeah, Vision, is probably the most amazing because Vision was sort of like the same happy accident the Human Torch was.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to make an android. I don't know how or why, but you've got to check this out. For some reason, and I tried it again, and I got Ultron. this one can walk through walls.
There is a reason for that, by the way. There is a reason, and it is the most ridiculous reason that exists ever in existence. So Vision is technically like the child of Ultron, right? Like Vision.
That's right. Yeah, Vision made Ultron, didn't he?
Ultron made Vision. Yeah.
Ultron made Vision. He also made Jocasta, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And like put Hank Pym's head in or brain and brainwaves in one. And
well, yeah, he took
Jocasta had he kidnapped Wasp and used and her brain
it
as
was
a template.
It was Wonder Man that got brainwaved
Wonder
into
Man. And then it just turns into this weird robot family tree.
It's so weird. And
like you're like Decker is like robots. Robots and, have families.
And what we always say is everybody's upset about you know the North Star gay marriage. There was a marriage of an android and a mutant in comic books long before there was gay marriage, people. A robot. And everybody's fine. Nobody bitched about it.
Yeah, nobody really was all that overly concerned that, you know, that this travesty, it would be like in the movie Galaxy, and it's against the laws of nature. You could go blind.
You could go blind.
One of my favorite lines from Galaxy.
but his the atoms or some... There was some density shifting. I read somewhere that there was some density shifting materials that were entered into the Vision that allowed him to walk through to be able to change his density. Like
oh, I see.
Yes, Horton was his name was Professor Horton. And.
Who?
Thank you. Asshole.
Which actually brings me to the mind of a time when his friend at a convention, and he was pointing at action figures. Who's that? I said, that's Owlman. Who? Owlman. Who?
Damn it. But Horton was the one who developed the Vision based on the Human Torch, the original Human Torch body.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So he
takes Ryan. I do kind of remember.
So
that.
He takes the face and colors it red, and he takes his quote unquote Horton cells, and gives them
yeah,
density.
Yeah, that's what you should tell the ladies.
Right.
Too.
Let me give you some of my Horton
cells.
Deep inside the Vision is the Ultron programming, and it surfaces and becomes Ultron.
Okay.
Yeah. So. So once Ultron's defeated, they take Wonder Man and put it inside of him, and he still has the that crystal on his head is there as a regulator, as a rage-o-ometer in case Ultron ever comes back to shut him down.
Oh, okay.
That's how all that works. Yeah. So there you go. One of the most multifaceted characters.
Yeah, that's
everywhere.
The whole history. There's just this weird little artificial family tree going on that defies all logic.
Right.
But you know, and another really bizarre robot was a member of the equally bizarre, frankly, Monster Society of Evil.
Okay.
That menaced Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam. And that is Mr. Atom.
Okay.
Perhaps one of the only robots ever hold a title like Mr. Very, very precise kind of thing. But Mr. Atom, I think initially sported a... He was actually like a Nazi robot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and when you're talking about comics, and this is to paraphrase something I'm stealing blatantly from Steve, is that, you know, when you look at comics, you can't go into comics and not see robots. Nazi robots!
Nazi robots!
But, I mean, Mr. Atom was every bit the... it's kind of like Lucifer from Battlestar Galactica without the cloak. And that's the original Battlestar Galactica kids. You're like, what the hell are you talking about, you crazy old coot? I'm talking about old people shit, sci-fi, back when it meant something, like ripping off Star Wars.
Like everything ripping off Star Wars. Everything was good then. Everything was good.
But he just had, like, you know, the traditional missile-shaped head. Robot body. But another really fun, unique robot that only had a very brief existence in comics comes from the comic book Top Ten, which actually has a couple of really remarkable robots. But there's a part of the storyline is where one of the officers, because Top Ten, as we've talked about before, takes place in a world where everybody has some kind of superpowers.
Right.
And these are the cops in a world where everybody has superpowers. And so one of the officers is sent off to this other dimension where it's all very much based on kind of Greco-Roman mythology.
Okay.
And is thrust into this big gladiatorial games that are fought in later rounds to the death. The idea being that those behind everything were trying to kill him off, but he is facing off against this robot that he meets, which is like this robotic velociraptor.
Wow.
Called Technozoic.
Technozoic.
I love you, Alan Moore.
Damn it, Alan Moore.
And, of course, the breakaway robot character. Probably, I would have to say this is honestly one of my favorite, if not my favorite. I think I could say it's my favorite robot in comics, is Joe Pye. P.I.
Okay.
Joe Pye is late into the series, is introduced as a new member of one of their team is killed off. And the newest member of Precinct 10 is Joe Pye, who comes from another dimension where it's like this experimental, artificial life society. So, in other words, he comes from a realm where everybody's a robot.
Okay.
And one of the neat things is, in Top 10, there are robots, because it's, you know, it's taking place in a world where everything you ever saw in comics is going on in some capacity. And one of the things you see is robot discrimination.
Okay.
In fact, one of the officers is very discriminatory about robots, or is the derogatory vernacular, clickers.
Clickers.
In fact, at one point he refers to himself, he says, "I ain't no clicker licker." And Joe Pye comes along, and now he has to work with this robot on a regular basis. And there's a beautiful, very Alan Moore scene, because throughout the series, you always see this character, Shockheaded Peter, is always going and getting candy bar.
Okay.
And at one point, he makes some, you know, rude comment about robots. And Joe Pye walks over to the candy machine and goes, "And yet here you are molesting my retarded cousin." Ida Bell. You know, it's like, it's okay, girl. We'll speak of it no more. And he's pulling his hand out of the, you know, little trap door at the bottom of the candy machine. Everybody's laughing their asses off at him. And it was just, and it's a wonderful thing because you see all of these points where everybody on some level is having to get used to, like his partner having to get used to the fact that, you know, he's a robot. And so, you know, if he is expressing any kind of emotion, it must just be some algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he becomes one of the most human characters in the book. Because, like, you know, her partner is the one that had been killed. And there are a lot of scenes with her entertaining the living partner's kids. And they ask, you know, they meet Joe, and they're asking him when he do you know any tricks? And he goes, no, I'm just a robot. And he pulls his head off and puts it under his arm, and it's facing them as he's walking away. He says, I don't know any tricks.
Nice.
And it just, you know, everything about that damn series is just so damn good. And I have to say that Joe Pye is a breakaway robot character
in all of comics.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
I think even the compelled to bare-fistedly destroy all robot kind Magnus robot fighter would probably give Joe Pye
just
a pass.
Yeah, just a pass. Like, yeah.
You will live.
You
he'd probably say something like, oh, so you can tell others about me. And,
right.
You know, like some Kaiser Sose thing. But no, it's actually just, he's giving
he's just a good guy. He's just a good guy. So,
and one of the robot I think that deserves honorable mention, because it's, oddly enough, coming on the heels of the House of Obscurity, as this will be, a John Byrne creation known as Roger Rogue or whatever, 2000, ROG 2000.
Okay.
I know so little about it, but about the time that that John Byrne's star was really rising with X-Men,
mm-hmm.
another little indie publisher was publishing this Rogue 2000 or Raj 2000 or whatever it was supposed to be.
Okay.
And just kind of look it up. It's got the, it's very John Byrne-esque. It's the, a robot with some big-ass feet and, and take that, Bender. Roger Rogue 2000 was smoking cigars 15, 20 years before you even existed.
That's right. So let's as we're coming up on our time, let's talk a little bit about the man of the hour, the man we've come here to roast tonight, the android that has attempted to destroy the Earth probably more times than not. Ultron.
I mean, yeah, he really, speaking of before their time, Ultron was kind of the Terminator before Terminating was cool.
Yeah, yeah, except
smarter.
It
was Terminator when Terminator was uncool.
Except smarter. Like,
yeah, because he doesn't, like, do stupid things like, hey, let's go to the past.
Right.
Why don't we just, you know, I don't know, like, bottle methane gas, and, you know, we don't exactly need oxygen.
Right.
In fact, in many ways, oxygen's detrimental. See what oxidation has done to some of our older models?
Well, here's I like Ultron.
The Terminators would have been better served to screw up the ozone layer or something.
Right, like go way back in time and
just irradiate everything.
Just, yeah, take a nuke back to...
It's like Robot Chicken with Optimus Prime, you know. They don't have organic organs. Can't get cancer, but you do, and you can.
That's right.
Get your ass checked out regular.
Get your ass checked out regular. But,
so,
yes.
Yeah, but, yeah, he did have at least a smarter approach to occasionally making the odd attempt. Even going so far as well before Age of Ultron, almost like a precursor, some hotel chain, I think it was like the Clarion and Sleep and all that, they actually had like an Avengers movie-based comic book. My boss brought me this comic book.
Really?
That was from the hotel. And it was like the Avengers, you know, staying at various... like, you know, Tony Stark was at Clarion, of course.
Right, because he's an asshole.
You know, yeah, and like, Thor didn't know any better. They made him stay at a sleep hotel or something. a cot on the floor hotel. But, you know, it. But Ultron attacks in all these cities where they are, you know, the Ultron robots are all there. So it was almost like, wow, they predicted where this was headed.
But, you know, here's the thing, right? We are toy collectors. We are unabashed collectors of toys.
Yeah.
What they haven't done, they haven't given us a good 3¾-inch Ultron figure, first of all.
The one from the Marvel Universe was okay.
It was all right.
It was better than some of the ones that came out of Marvel Legends.
Oh, my God, yeah. But what I really want is a 3¾-inch original Ultron 1 vacuum cleaner dialy head weird tripod figure. I want that more than anything. That would be...
Now, you know what I want?
What?
Speaking of Ultron, and I was hoping for this back in the Marvel Legends days, and we didn't get this, is I want an Ultron figure that can be disarticulated at the waist for the sole purpose of you being able to plug that disarticulated waist into that giant NASCAR engine block flying God knows what that he used to run around in, like,
yes,
sort of Ed Big Daddy Roth. I mean, the only thing that was missing was a giant stick shift with an 8-ball.
You know? I forget the name of the artist that did all that.
That was Big Daddy Roth, Ed Big Daddy Roth.
Yeah, that would be like a giant tongue and eyes bugging out. Like, that's all that
exactly.
needed.
Exactly. You could have that tongue I was talking about earlier that Machine Man was lacking.
That's right. But Ultron did some crazy stuff, like before its time stuff, like when he decided to take out the Avengers by hypnotizing Edwin Jarvis and making him the Crimson Cowl. Do you remember that storyline?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, at that point, he's teetering away from the Terminators and more toward Cobra.
Like, it was like it got dark for comic books of that period. When you take the butler, you make him the criminal, and then have him infiltrate and almost wipe out the Avengers, and then unhypnotize him, but he can remember everything, so he knows what he did. Like, that's dark.
Oh, yeah, that's like almost like Loki's threat with
that's
the Avengers with the Hawkeye.
That is dark. That is nasty.
That is. I'd forgotten about that. But yeah, but Ultron's just like been around menacing forever, and I guess it always will be. They'll always just be. And then what, more recently he became like Emperor Ultron or something like that.
Yeah, he's done so much crap. like the Age of Ultron, where he essentially went into the future and just screwed everything up so that nobody could fight him. Like, he had, you know, there was a future in which, well, the worst thing that he did was destroy Rom the Space Knight. I mean, of any of the other atrocities that he was a part of.
That's worse than pouring hot lava down Jocasta's throat and killing her. She was probably, you know, I think Jocasta was even sexier than Platinum. I'm going to go on record and say that.
You know your sexy robots.
I would galaxy to her before Platinum any day of the week.
I will tell you this. You are well aware of your sexy robots.
Sorry. I am. I mean, you know, Soriyama can suck it. I'm a Jocasta man.
So apparently at the end of the Annihilation Conquest, okay, which was the giant space war that happened that involved like Adam Warlock and the Guardians of the Galaxy and Ronan the Accuser and you know, all of the big dogs were out there. Ultron's involved because why not? And he gets his head ripped off and starts floating out in space. Well, he finds one of the space knights. I'm gonna assume it's Rom. All right, I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say it's Rom. I don't know which one it was. And he infiltrates said space knight, and he eventually gets found by a group of supervillains called the Intelligentsia, who are all the genius supervillains. Your Red Ghost and the leader and what have you, and in the process of doing that, destroys whatever was left of the Space Knight and becomes Ultron and wrecks house. So,
wow.
Yeah, so screw him for that. That's
not damn good.
You don't get to take out Rom the Space Knight, which, by the way, as we're coming up on it, and we do need to start wrapping it up, I think that we need to talk about Rom the Space Knight at least for a second.
Yeah, but is Rom not more...
It's if you cut him, does he not bleed?
But, I mean, he's more of a cyborg, like, I don't know, Cyborg?
Like, what is the story with Rom the Space Knight?
Rom the Space Knight borrowed heavily, or actually only partly, from Shaw Brothers movie Inframan, in which a human being volunteered to become a robotic, you know, a cybernetic champion of his world. And in this case, he kind of got the short shrift because he got like a sonic inducer and a microwave oven or
a weird hammer hand.
He got the oven mitt hands and everything. I mean,
right?
What the hell? I mean, Inframan got like all kinds of cool shit.
Yeah, I guess he was a cyborg. He wasn't a full-on robot.
Yeah, and I was avoiding characters like Cyborg and other cybernetic characters because that's a whole different ball of wax. We're talking about just straight-up robots, and plus the robots get resentful if you start bringing in cyborgs.
It's true, but I do love this, that the volunteers that became Space Knights were offered the parts of their humanity that were removed would be returned to them after the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they were actually kept in some sort of cybernetic canopic jars.
Right.
So that they could reclaim them like the pharaohs of old.
It's just so bad. Okay, all right.
And that's for Kelly as well. I don't know if
she goes back that far, yeah, but I imagine she does.
Yeah, ancient Egypt is part of her repertoire, but you know, there it is.
All right, let's wrap this up. We've talked about robots. Robots. That's a skinny robot. Yeah, we've talked about robots now. So for a solid hour.
Robots and robots.
Robots and robots and ribbits.
There was some movie I saw one time. Is that a robot? Oh, it's a robot. Which I have to point out that since we are talking about robots, let's be a little educational here.
Okay.
Robot itself, I'm trying to remember the term. I believe it is a derivative of a Polish word, and this is not a joke. I'm being actually dead serious here, but I believe the origin of the term robot literally meant something like a disposable person or something like that.
Really.
I'm trying to conjure up the origins of the word, but
we got nothing.
I got nothing. I can't find it now, but I seem to remember there being a the actual origins of the word came from some other really darker type source.
It was Czech.
Oh, that's right, yes.
It was Czech. I still don't see what the word meant, but it was Czech. It was in a play called Rossum's Universal Robots.
That's the one.
Yeah. Okay. That was the first use.
It was literally like the word robot at that time meant nothing. And unlike the Pompatus of Love... Universal robot, the robot part of it went on to become attached to something. As yet, no one has taken up the charge of Pompatus. So, I want to make
that
challenge.
Was that a Steve Miller?
I don't know who that is.
Was that a Midnight Cowboy reference on this show?
That wasn't a Midnight Cowboy, but it was
Some people call you Maurice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
For that sole reason of what I spoke at earlier.
Okay, can we just wrap up the show now? It's taken.
that was a very space cowboy reference.
Wow. Speaking of, Platinum? Speaking of Jostica.
Jostica?
Jostica? All right.
Of course.
Yeah, we are coming to you, as always, from the auspices of the Jedi Cole universe. Where you can find this show, as well as the Rantcore Pit, and many other fine programs. I say programs like my mom's watching. Is your program on? Many other fine programs.
It's time for my stories.
On the Jedi Cole universe.
And you can also look for us... generally the second Saturday of every month, sometimes out of necessity, the third Saturday of every month on deepelemonair.com with Hey Kids Comics Live. I have this like urge to like put my hand up like on the Talking Dead Live.
So yes, we also are going to be making the rounds for Free Comic Book Day. We are going to be in two places at once at some point on Free Comic Book Day.
A little bit of everywhere as much as we can.
Looks like we're going to start our journey at A Galaxy Called Dallas and Garland with James Pickering, and then at least one of us is going to venture off to Hearst to The Collected. So that's going to be an exciting day.
Yeah, apparently The Collected, they're expecting me there as well.
Ah, are they?
Yes, indeed.
Nice.
I actually received a note indicating that I must be being expected there because I was told that... they needed a picture of me in Jedi garb.
Oh, really? Okay. Do you still have Jedi garb?
I honestly, oddly enough, never did have Jedi garb. All of my imagery of me in Jedi garb was borrowed for the occasion. I was actually using Tim Kennedy from VaderCast. I was using his Jedi robes
when
I was in Celebration 6. And... so I actually do have some photos of myself, several of them. Orlando, Florida. Probably any time of year. Not conducive to heavy wool robes.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh, dear Lord, no.
So that's happening as well as what's happening in June? Where are we going to be in June?
We are going to be in June. The Jedi Cole Universe have a booth in June at... the Texas Comic Fest in Louisville. We thank them very much for that. That's going to be an amazing show, and we're happy to be a part of that and have a booth out there to celebrate and show off the Jedi Cole Universe. And we're going to have a little some fundraising prize raffles. And
that's right.
The ball pit got voted down.
I still want to vote it back up. I still want to vote it back up.
I wanted me some ball pit, but it's best that we let that one go.
It's a shame. That's a shame.
But you can find about that convention, about the upcoming, you can't find that right now, but in the future, Lubbock Con in Lubbock, Texas, which we're going to be a huge part of.
Yeah, we are.
And I'm going to say right now, the Jedi Cole Universe will have a booth there as well.
There you
and,
go.
I will also be... appearing there, finally producing, after all these many years, the little production, my little panel that I've never had a chance to see fully realized, Confessions of a Z-List Celebrity will finally
make its appearance.
Finally be seen. I have a feeling that this one's actually going to happen. And you can find out about all of these things at Convention Warriors Project Texas at cap-tx.info. You can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com. Occasionally I try to tweet over at Twitter. At the Jedi Cole U if you want to follow us. There's a Jedi Cole Universe page, there's a Hey Kids Comics page, there's a Rancor Pit page, and there is also coming up in August of this year, there's a page for this on Facebook as well as its own page. The Jedi Cole Universe comic toy and collectible swap meet for the first time ever.
Yeah, buddy.
Jedi Cole Universe is actually hosting its own tabletop toy and collectible show.
That's awesome. It's about time. I got a bunch of junk I need to get rid of.
How excellent.
I know. It's serendipitous, even.
As we speak, there may be up to maybe some tables left. They're going pretty
They're going pronto.
Because we're trying to return the show that anyone can afford to sell at.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to it for a mere $2 or $1 with the coupon.
$1 with coupon.
That soon will be available at comic shops and conventions near you.
There you go. And that's it for this week. Next week, are we ready to announce what we're going into next week?
I think, yes, it's probably time. We're going once more into the breach, my friends.
Into the mouth of madness. Into straight in.
We're going into the mouth and nasal passages.
Most
the sinus cavity of madness.
But most importantly, into the beard of madness.
Yes, deep into the impenetrable beard of madness.
Because we're going 5 issues deep. We're going elbow deep into Alan Moore, is what we're doing.
Indeed. We are going to be presenting you with the promised more on more. The 5-issue story arc that will give you more Alan Moore than the Moors.
the moors. More than because you could fit into the moors and eat some s'mores.
That's right.
or episodes of Jersey Shores.
Or the Star Wars.
Or that robot that we didn't talk about, Tours. If there were multiple Tours.
Oh, Tour.
Yeah, all right. So we'll see you next week.
Topor, the toy robot that they had to go out of their way to tell you at the end of the commercial was robot spelled backwards.
We have to go do a cleansing ritual and prepare ourselves and our bodies for what's about to come in the next 5 weeks. God, So join us. As we descend, you might actually hear us descend into madness. It's going to be like a radio play of Edgar Allan Poe's night journals. Edgar Allan Poe. All right. So say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody.
And good night. Join us for Alan Moore. Oh, I can't. It hurts to say it.
Good night, humans. Beep, boop, floor, beep, floor, beep, floor, beep, beep.